Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Idea Park, a new media agency nurturing online relationships between you and your most valuable customers. Online at ideapark.com.
Ernesto Eyes Florida.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Ernesto is expected to be a tropical storm when it hits Florida tonight. A state of emergency has been declared. Non-residents have been evacuated from the Florida Keys. Some businesses may suffer from all the storm preparation. Others will benefit. From WLRN in Miami, Marketplace's Dan Gretsch spells out the economic winners and losers.
Home Depot and Lowe's are obvious winners. Every storm season, they sell plywood, generators, and hurricane shutters to frantic homeowners. Grocery stores and gas stations also see a spike in sales. Meanwhile, businesses that cater to tourists suffer when they're in the path of a storm. Hotels can be especially hard hit. Robert Hartwig is with the Insurance Information Institute. He says hotels in Key West are emptying out.
On the other hand, inland hotels further away from the storm might be winners this time around as they actually see people trying to get away from the storm.
Economists have found that communities that get hit by a storm often see a surge in activity afterwards as people rebuild using insurance proceeds. In the past 2 years, insurance companies have injected $31 billion into Florida on hurricane claims alone. From Miami, I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Charities will get a boost through a sweet deal from M&M, the rap star, not the candy. M&M has designed a limited edition series of shoes for Nike. The eight pairs of each of the eight designs will be auctioned off in the next few weeks. The auctions will take place at Nike stores in London, Berlin, Paris, and over eBay. The money will benefit youth in Southeast Michigan and a group working with children in refugee camps around the world. The British oil giant BP has run into further trouble in its U.S. operations. The company is now reported to be under federal investigation for allegedly manipulating the oil and gasoline markets. From London, Stephen Beard has more.
Among the allegations is the claim that BP may have used inside information to influence the oil market. According to U.S. press reports, the company is also facing a criminal inquiry into gas price manipulation. These are just the latest woes. There's also a case about propane price fixing, and the company has to appear before Congress next week to talk about oil spills in Alaska. BP has certainly fallen foul of U.S. regulators, says Justin Urquhart-Stewart of Seven Investment.
The reason is that you get the spotlight on you, and once that spotlight appears, then anything that is seen to be not to be whiter than white is shown up very clearly indeed.
The scrutiny may soon reach the very top of the company. The chief executive, Lord Brown, has just been told he must testify in a case against BP following the fatal refinery explosion in Texas last year. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Low oil prices and news that Ernesto won't hit key Gulf energy facilities has put the market in a pretty good mood yesterday. The Dow climbed 67 points to 11,352. The Nasdaq rose 20 points at 2060. And the S&P eased up 6 points at 1301. This is Marketplace. From June of last year until June of this year, bankruptcy filings fell by more than 9%. That's the smallest number since 2001. It sounds good, but those figures could be misleading. Ashley Milne-Tide explains.
Last October, a new law took effect that makes it tougher to file for bankruptcy. 620,000 people rushed to file just before the deadline. Daniel Ray of Bankrate.com says that skewed the data for the year, but he says that was then.
Now we're seeing things return to normal because the forces that are pushing people toward bankruptcy are just as strong as they were before, maybe stronger.
The number of filings per month has been creeping back up. Not surprising, Ray says. Adjusted for inflation, hourly wages have fallen since 2003. And in the next 2 years, he says, adjustable rate mortgages will be reset to higher rates. That could put many household budgets under duress. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
You're listening to American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft Dynamics. Business solutions for CRM, supply chain, and financial management. Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. It was a year ago today that Hurricane Katrina slammed into the Gulf Coast states of Louisiana and Mississippi. The biggest impact was in Louisiana. 1,600 people died. In New Orleans, only half the population has returned. Six city hospitals are still closed. Less than half of the 128 public schools will open this fall. President Bush is visiting the area today. He wants to highlight the efforts to rebuild, but critics complain that things are moving too slowly. Katrina has pushed New Orleans into the ranks of other cities like Chicago, San Francisco, and London that were forced to rebuild after a disaster. John Steele Gordon is a business historian. He thinks the Gulf Coast region could learn a thing or two about rebuilding from 17th century London.
You've got two ways to rebuild after a disaster, quick and dirty or slow and deliberate. They each have their advantages. Quick and dirty gets the town back in business as soon as possible. Slow and deliberate means focusing more attention on root causes and design. Quick and dirty has its costs. Many people are moving back into neighborhoods in New Orleans that are dangerously vulnerable to flooding in the next hurricane, and there will be a next hurricane. When San Francisco was devastated by the 1906 earthquake, the hasty rebuilding left the city a new disaster waiting to happen, as the 1989 earthquake proved. London is a good example of slow and deliberate. No, I don't mean after the World War II Blitz. I mean after the Great Fire of London in 1666, the greatest urban conflagration since Nero was playing his fiddle. The fire wiped out four-fifths of the heart of the city. It destroyed 13,000 buildings, 87 churches, and the homes of 100,000 people. Even the great medieval cathedral of St. Paul's was a smoking ruin. Londoners estimated rebuilding at £10 million. That doesn't sound like much these days, but in the mid-17th century, it was fully eight times the annual revenues of the king. There was no choice. Rebuilding had to be slow and deliberate. And frankly, they did a pretty good job of it. The old London had been a medieval rabbit warren of wooden houses and narrow streets that fire could easily cross. The new London had wider streets and even some wide avenues that acted as fire breaks. The new housing stock erected over the next few years was made of brick, not wood. The churches, one by one, were replaced by new ones, each a jewel of ecclesiastical architecture. It was 9 years before Sir Christopher Wren's masterpiece, the new St. Paul's, was designed and building started. It was 44 years after the fire that it was finally finished. But when it was a wonder of the world, and it still is, the proud symbol of one of the world's great cities and the beating economic heart of all Europe. Rebuilding can move a lot faster now than in the pre-industrial 17th century. But still, it's a good idea once confronted with the lemon of a great disaster to take enough time to figure out the best way to make lemonade from it.
Business historian John Steele Gordon is author of An Empire of Wealth. We're podcasting. Check out our website at marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
Hundreds of thousands of people